You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gary Capewell, James Millman and Chris Pimlott in the studio. Very good Wednesday to look forward to as well. We've got racing on the flat at Catterick and Epsom. We've also got National Hunt Racing at Perth on Wednesday afternoon. More in the evening as well, jumping at Exeter and all-weather racing at Lingfield, as if that wasn't enough. Also got day two of the Punchestown Festival. Three grade ones on their card and a grade A handicap chase as well. So real good stuff to look forward to in both codes. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, Mark. Got a bit of that dreaded man flu, which is never good to have, but that isn't going to hold us down at this time. It's too busy to have any illnesses and have any layoffs, isn't it?
It is. Great time of year as well with racing to catch the imagination on both the flat and over the obstacles. We'll move on to some of the action on Wednesday in a moment. We'll also get some look at some of the flat racing coming up as well, and some horses to follow from Craig in a moment or two. But before we do, a bit of news to talk about. And Cheltenham Festival winning jockey Brian Harding has announced that he's going to retire this Friday. He's one of the elder statesmen in the weighing room. He's 45 years old. Most famous, of course, for the victory on One Man in the Champion Chase. Great man in the saddle for the past however many years. And hopefully he can go out on a high on Friday.
Yeah, you would like to think so, Mark. I'm sure Nicky Richards will hopefully have something in store for him to finish on a high. He's been a fantastic jockey and a loyal servant to Nicky. As you said, One Man, the highlight throughout his career. He's ridden many other good winners along the way, but I think he's a fantastic horseman, isn't he? The way he presents his horses at the hurdles and fences is his real strengths, and I believe he's been coaching some of the younger jockeys for a good few years now. I don't know what his plans are once he retires from the saddle, but he's been a fantastic jockey in the north, and he'll be missed for sure.
Yeah, just reading his plans for the future. I think he's talking about helping, you know, working with younger horses and developing them and so on and so forth. So yeah, he's still involved with the game, just not riding by the sounds of things.
He's got many years experience to to call upon, hasn't he?
Yeah. He doesn't want to train, he said, but he wants to continue working with horses and jockeys and such. Done him a disservice there as well. He's not quite 45 yet. He's 44. Turns 45 in September, I believe. So All the best to him. And quite fittingly, his final ride is likely to be in the closing time National Hunt flat race, where Nicky Richards has got Any Way the Wind Blows in there at the moment. So hopefully can send him out with a winner or so, or a good ride anyway, at least. So that's a bit of news with the jumps. Obviously got the big jumps finale coming up this weekend at Sandown on Saturday. Got a good card at Sandown on Friday on the flat as well. And John Gosden talking about he's going to hope that the fillies and the three-year-olds can propel him towards the Trainers' Championship. The flat really kicks up a gear over the next couple of weeks, and you've got some flat horses to follow for us.
Yeah, just before we touch on a couple there, Mark, John Gosden, he's had a fantastic start to the season, hasn't he?
Superb, yeah.
His yard are firing in all cylinders, and I think he's got a very, very strong team to go to war with. Yeah, just a couple that caught my eye, you know, from the weekend and today, to give you to keep a close eye on going forward. The first of them is a three-year-old that ran in the opening maiden at Yarmouth today, trained by Luca Cumani, Buckstead Dream. He was drawn in stall one, Mark, and he did catch my eye physically on the pictures as he was loading into the stalls. Drawn in stall one, the action of the race mainly took place down the middle to stand side, and you only need to look at the first three home, drawn in stalls 15, 13 and 11. You know, to see what he achieved in fourth from stall one. I thought it was an exceptional run. I think he's a surefire future winner. You know, many of the followers, you know, would be expecting this horse to be campaigned with handicaps in mind. But on his performance today, he's well up to winning a maiden at the third time of asking for sure. It was a real good run. I liked that performance a lot. Over a mile, he will get further. And he's one definitely for the notebooks, Boxstead Dream. The second of the two ran at Thirsk on Saturday in a mile and a half handicap, Swaheen, trained by Julie Camacho. Ran in the same race last year. He was badly drawn 2 years ago, but he was much better drawn in stall four on Saturday. I just don't think they made enough use of the horse. He travelled really well in behind the horses. He's fallen back to a real good mark now, and I just wonder, you know, if they're maybe going to ease him in grade into a 0-80 if they get that 2 pound drop, because he ran off a mark of 82 on Saturday at Thirsk. And I thought there was plenty of running left in him, if I'm being honest, as he went past the post. I thought there was more to come. And like I said, he's dropped back to what looks a very, very attractive mark. He doesn't want the ground lightning quick. You know, some juice underfoot would be his optimum conditions. Good to soft. You know, it's absolutely perfect for him. And I think the way he's shaped, I think he's well up to winning on his next start, if placed in a similar grade. He's obviously been running off much higher marks in the past.
Yeah, off a mark of 82, he can get into not 20s now, can't he, with the
Yeah, he could. Euro, so. Yeah. Obviously much harder on the flat than it is in the jumping game, because obviously the fields are more subscribed and the first ones to drop out are the higher rated horses.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely he could squeeze in from that mark.
Mm. So that's a bit of news about the flat. Then some horses to follow. One last piece of story that's caught my eye. An interesting quote for Frankie Dettori and Galileo Gold. They're going to make they're going to get back together in the lock-in at Newbury in a few weeks' time. And Hugo Palmer has described the pair as being back in love with each other.
Which isn't that lovely?
Nice. Yeah, that's nice. If they are back in love with each other, then got that to look forward to, because he's a very talented animal, isn't he?
He was. He looked a real good horse, didn't he, when he was firing on all cylinders. And hopefully he's back to his best, because he is an exciting type.
Yeah, got some real good racing to come up on the flat over the next few weeks. We've got the guineas, we've got the lock-ins, we've got all kinds of good stuff coming up on the flat. But we're going to concentrate on matters a little closer to hand, because we've got good action in both codes on Wednesday. We're going to look at some of the racing from Perth, some of it from Epsom as well on the domestic front, and the big race over in Ireland as well at Punchestown, the Punchestown Gold Cup. We'll get Craig slots in those races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start at Perth then in their 3:05, and this is the Goldcastle National Hunt Novices Hurdle. It's a listed race over just short of 3 miles. Only a field of five to go to post here, and several of them in with chances, but it's a race that's thrown up some decent winners in the past. The likes of Sausalito Sunrise won this race and one night in Vienna, so talented enough animals have come out of it in the past, Craig.
Definitely, Mark, and this is the first year it's been upgraded to listed status. So, good renewal. You know, it isn't going to take us long to run through all five, so I think we'll touch on all five. I spoke to Andrew Thornton, who's actually ridden Gabri. He was the highest rated runner in the field here, officially rated 147. And there's got to be concerns about the ground for Gabri. He's performed all his best work on softer surface. And Andrew did say, you know, ideally, he does want it good to soft at quickest.
Yeah.
So despite him, you know, on official ratings being the best horse in the race, there's ground concerns for Gabri over the 3 mile trip of Perth, and the track will be plenty sharp enough for him as well. You know, he's an out and out galloper. Gabri's exceeded on track, galloping tracks like Chepstow and Force Lass. So, you know, coming on a sharp track like Perth might not be ideal for Gabri. Entry My Dream, on the other hand, should definitely be suited by this type of test. Absolutely bolted up at Hereford, looked a straightforward opportunity, and he won well on that occasion. And, you know, prior to that, he looked set to win at Force Lass when he fell late in that contest. He's officially rated 137. Conditions, you know, should be absolutely perfect for him. Again, you know, he's done all his winning on soft ground, but I think he's the type of horse that will handle better ground, no problem. King of Fashion needs to step up. You know, he ran it there at the weekend, finishing second on that occasion off a mark of 127. Even that form wouldn't be good enough here. He needs to definitely improve, and he also finished behind one of Nicky Richards' runners, Progress Drive, earlier in the season. Now, Progress Drive wouldn't be without a chance in this in the first-time cheek pieces mark, but he does need to improve his jumping. You know, he got away with it in a lesser race at there last time, and he looks an out and out stayer despite what his pedigree says. You know, 2.5 miles might be his optimum looking at his pedigree, but the way he's shaped in his races suggests 3 mile and beyond won't be an issue. So if he can improve his jumping, he should go pretty well, Progress Drive. And the dark horse is Robin Hannon for Philip Hobbs. Now, he's only ran under rules in a maiden hurdle at Warwick. He was particularly impressive the way he went through that race, the way he jumped when challenged in the latter stages. You know, he did pick up and go away again. is a big step up for him. He's unexposed. You know, we don't know how good he is, and he's the hardest horse to get a handle on, if you like. So he's the dark one, Robin Hannon. But for me, I think Entry My Dream could well be the one to beat.
Entry My Dream, then the selection for Craig in the 3:05 at Perth. Onto the flat next for the 3:15 at Epsom, the Great Metropolitan Handicap over a mile and a half, a Class 3 event. Nine of them set to go to post for this one, Craig, and quite an open race. Several of these arrive here in, well, they have a one next to their name, a few of them making their reappearances as well, which makes it all the more tricky.
Yeah, I think the horse that's likely to go off favourite here, Mark, is Mark Johnson's Galapiat. He was a good winner on his first start for the yard at Leicester. He did that job nicely, and I think the third has since has franked that form. So, yeah, the third one at Newbury at the weekend. So that looks strong form. You know, he's gone up £11 for that, so it won't be easy. But he comes here with a favourite's chance. But there's one that caught my eye, and I think there's a horse lurking on a potentially dangerous mark here, a Cinderban of Keith Dalglish's. He won very well at Carlisle last year, particularly impressive from a bad draw, and he made all sorts of trouble in running that day. He got away with it, and the manner of his victory since then suggested he's a very, very well handicapped horse. Things haven't really gone his way since, and on his return at Musselburgh, he was, you know, held up after being drawn out wide, and he never really got into that contest, you know, paid to be prominent, and he did all his best work in the latter stages of the race. Obviously, you know, the run should do him the world of good as well. The fact that Keith Dalglish is sending him to Epsom, you know, is significant in itself. I don't think Keith would have had too many runners down at the at Epsom in recent years. And this could go really well for Paul and Claire Rooney. And off a mark of 91, the track should suit. You know, his running style won't be an issue for me with Epsom. And I think he'll go particularly well at decent odds, Zinderban.
Yep, Zinderban then. The pick for Craig in the 3:15, staying at Epsom next for the 3:50, and this is the City and Suburban Handicap, a Class 2 event over a mile and a quarter. We've got a field of 13 to go to post for this. Some pretty useful horses in here as well. It's a good handicap, this.
This is a fantastic race, Mark. You know, when I first seen it, there's one or two jumped off the page, and you're thinking, oh, you know, this looks a race to get stuck into. But at this stage of proceedings, I think there's probably too many still on the shortlist for that to be the case. The main three that are left on the shortlist for me, Speed Company, obviously, who is a horse I like a lot. He won on his reappearance as a three-year-old last year. He won a nice handicap at Newmarket. And he won on his last start of the season at Doncaster as well. 99, you know, would be bordering on just about the handicap I maybe want some. There won't be a lot of room for error from that mark from Speed Company. So he's going to have to be cherry ripe. But, you know, they've gone and boot Ryan Moore. He's ridden him in the past. He knows the horse well. So I think that's significant. Dolphin Vista representing Richard Fahy, the improving four-year-old. He was doing all his best work in the latter stages of the Lincoln Handicap. He was staying on, eye-catching at the end of that race. He runs off the same mark. But again, you know, 99, not a lot of room for error from his mark. They're actually claiming 7 from him, which for me suggests that, you know, Richard Fahy maybe thinks he doesn't have a great deal in hand of the assessor.
Yep.
But the one I'm going to go with is a horse that won a nice handicap on Derby Day last year. Godopolin of Sylvester Kirk's. I thought he shaped very well in the Rosebery at Kempton last time. He's off a mark of 89. I think there's more to come from him. And I think, you know, at the weight, at round about the 8-1 mark, I think he would be the one to back each way in this.
Yeah, Godopolin then, the selection for Craig. Course and distance form, obviously, very important at Epsom, isn't it? So you got that on your side, and race fitness as well. So,
indeed.
Yeah.
But a real good race, and it's one of the best races, you know, on the flat, on Wednesday to look forward to, and I'm particularly excited about this one, Mark.
Yeah, real good race to look forward to. There, I suppose you could say that about the next one we look at as well. The 5:30.
Do I have to?
5:30 at Punchestown is the Punchestown Gold Cup, a Grade 1 event over the extended 3 miles. Market looks like this. The Gold Cup winner, the Cheltenham Gold Cup winner, Sizing John, and the Irish Gold Cup winner is even money. Jack Adam 3-1, 9-2 for Coney Gree, a previous Gold Cup winner himself at Cheltenham as well, of course. 9-1 for Outlander. Champagne West 14, 66-1 for good old Flemon Star. I mean, you've got the front three in the betting there. Superb little race between those three. Well, that's what I expect anyway. Does Sizing John confirm his Gold Cup form with Jack Adam? And where does Coney Gree fit into all of this?
Yeah, well, 4 of the 6 did run in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, didn't they, Mark? And Sizing John was much the best on that occasion. The way he travelled and bounced off the good ground was excellent to watch. You know, he's definitely the one to beat. You know, similar conditions. I don't think the track will cause him too many problems. He's a previous winner. I'll punch us down. The ground hopefully will be no worse than good to soft, good to yielding, as they call it. And I think, you know, he's as a 7-year-old, he continues to go the right way. You know, he proved his stamina when he won at Leopardstown 2 starts back, and he certainly wasn't stopping going through the line over 3.25 miles of Cheltenham.
No.
So I think he'll definitely come out, you know, of the four that ran in the Gold Cup, he'll come out the best once again. Jack Adam, well, he just didn't quite get home over 3.25. Coming back a couple of furlongs, you know, could be the biggest danger once again. Of course, he was second in the race last year to Carlingford Lock as well, so we know he goes well and carries his form at this time of year. He hasn't had the busy campaign this time around, Jack Adam, you know, and there might just be a little bit more to come. He's still only 8, and I think once again he'll be the biggest danger to size and John. Coney Gray, well, he's been off 158 days since he ran in the Haydock Grade 1 contest, finishing second behind Q Card. Ideally, does he want a little bit softer ground to be at his best? Mark, a 10-year-old, lightly raced, but, you know, I think he's got a few questions to answer, and I don't think I'd want to back him on his return after yet another absence.
Yeah. So what's the pick, Sizing John?
It's got to be Sizing John to beat Jack Adam.
Yeah. I think it'd be tight between those two.
Yeah,
because,
I do.
Because Jack Adam travelled unbelievably well in around Cheltenham. He's obviously lightly raced, and I just don't think he stays up that hill. So,
indeed. But at the same time, Sizing John isn't short speed either, is he?
No, you're right, yeah. It'd be a great battle.
Both horses should be even better suited to this course and distance than the Cheltenham Gold Cup, if you like. Even though Sizing John was such a exciting winner of this year's Gold Cup. You know, I like both horses. 7 and 8-year-olds as well, that's the positive with them. Yeah. You know, that hopefully the best days still lie ahead. I mean, I don't think Jack Adam's ever going to win a Gold Cup. He's had his chance, I think, you know, where Sizing John is still only 7, and he would be a big player going back to Cheltenham to defend his crown next year. But we've got a Grade 1 here that, you know, looks his for the taking. €147,000 to the winner isn't bad, Mark.
It's not at all. Yeah, really good race to look forward to there at Punchestown. It's a good day all in all, isn't it?
It is.
On Wednesday.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Of course, we've got the Class 6-7 sprint handicaps at Catterick to add into the mix.
Yeah.
But Epsom is fantastic. Punchestown is fantastic. Really looking forward to the action.
Superb, Greg. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Should we just have a quick confirmation of your selections then before you go?
Yes, Mark. In the 3:05 at Perth, we're going for Aintree My Dream. 3:15 at Epsom, Cinderban for the North and Keith Dalglish. In the 3:50 at Epsom, we're going with the 8-1 shot Godopolin for Sylvester Kirk. And in the 5:30 at Punchestown, Sizing John to make it 4 in a row and follow up his success from the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Top man. Good luck with that, Greg. Enjoy
Thank
it on,
you, Mark.
On Wednesday.
Thank you very much.
There you go. The thoughts of Greg Forsyth on Wednesday's racing. Then you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Gary Capewell, James Millman and Chris Pimlott, the team in the studio. It's Catterick, Epsom and Perth in the afternoon. Exeter and Lingfield in the evening on the domestic front. And day two of the Punchestown Festival over in Ireland as well. Real good racing to look forward to throughout the day. So do tune in for all that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.